to the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Dating Mastery for Women. I'm Cami Ellen, your host, and I'm so happy that you're here. Each day during our virtual summit, you are learning tips and tools from world-class experts on all things related to love and dating and attraction and more. And this wisdom is here for you to help you to date and relate with unshakable confidence and to become a woman who can truly inspire a great love. We are all standing for you to create nothing less than lasting, luscious love, your ultimate love life makeover. So let us dive in. I'm really excited to introduce my next guest expert, Tara Marino. I had the pleasure of being introduced to Tara several years ago, and I was immediately drawn to her because she really has this beautiful way of modeling for women how to honor and acknowledge the deepest desires and the dreams that we all have, and not only how to acknowledge them, but how to really embrace them and to live them fully with a sense of integrity and grace and joy. And she does it in a way that makes it seem so effortless. And on top of that, she has created this beautiful, full, happy, loving marriage and a family. And so there's this idea of, you know, having it all. And when I think of that concept, I think of no one else doing it better than Tara Marino. So in creating a summit about dating mastery for women, I really wanted her to be a part of it so she could bring her wisdom to this conversation. So I'm excited to bring her on. But before I do, I want to tell you a little bit more about Tara. She has lived a pretty full life already at the age of 42. She's built a 7-figure coaching business, Elegant Femme, all based on the Femme Types, which is a system that helps real women to live, create, and experience their beautiful life. And she did this with no prior entrepreneurial experience. She lived in France for 7 years with her family and is currently building a custom beach house with her husband of 16 years in the States. She created a fashion line, Tara Paris, and she had 2 fashion shows in Paris that received glowing reviews from the fashion press. Remarkably, she did all of this after she tragically lost her firstborn son in her arms. Tara proves that you can overcome adversity and still live a beautiful life. So welcome, Tara.
Wow.
So happy to have you.
I'm so happy to be here. So happy to be here. And it is so humbling to hear your life story back, isn't it? No matter where you are right now, when we take the moment to reflect what any of us have been through, because we've all been through stuff, you know? So I'm here really in support. I absolutely adore you. Mm. You know, this topic is, I know how dear it is to your heart, you know, from hearing you express it over the years. And I'm just thrilled to be able to be here and support and offer any value that I can to your audience in a way that really gives them a higher level of permission to receive the love that they're seeking.
Mm. Thank you. That's gorgeous. Thank you for being here. Well, I know that you have some ideas about this idea I mentioned earlier about that concept of, you know, having it all. And a lot of women today I talk to feel like, well, I can either have this flourishing career or I can have this flourishing business, but I don't know how to have both. What do you think about this? How is it possible? What are your thoughts behind this? How have you done it? I know you have a lot to say.
Well, it's always interesting, too, when you think about how have I done this? You know, as we were speaking a little bit about before we got started here, I do think that there are, and again, I'm just going to share my own deep feeling. You know, people might not necessarily agree. I think I might be a little bit controversial on this subject. Because I think that there's a little bit of a gap inside of the conversation. I think we've swung a little bit to extremes, and I think it was necessary, you know, to come forward with kind of the feminist movement and that desire we all had as women to experience ourselves as that we could create money and that we could be in the workforce and we could, you know, do it on our own. And we just really, not just us, but generations before us, this deep, deep feeling of wanting to know our independence and wanting to know ourselves as as not dependent, as not codependent, really that we could do it and enact our own power. And I think that's been a beautiful thing. And I think the pendulum's gone a bit too far. I think that what's gone on a bit is some sort of misidentification or misbelief that a woman requires to prove herself in a certain way before she can enter into relationship. That somehow she must, you know, create this level of independence and positioning and kind of have all her stuff, that's not the word I want to use, stuff together before she can open herself up to that loving relationship. And I think in a way, perhaps there's this underlying vein that a woman needs to somehow create this incredible resume of, you know, who she is and what she's done and what she's already accomplished in her life in order to even be viable for relationship. And I think that that's sad. And I think that that's missing the mark. I'm not saying that, you know, we don't need to have some things figured out inside of ourselves, ultimately, if we're moving into relationship. But I think we've taken it too far. I think that for myself, I see so many of my clients that are, I mean, longing, Cammie, longing for partnership in a way that, I mean, it's, I can feel their ache. You know, I can feel that they just feel like, well, I've got this in my life already. I've got this in my life. I've done this. I've done this. I've done this. And they're having the awareness that they've somehow either put this off and now they're ready, or they've desired it their whole entire life and just haven't given themselves the permission to enter into it before feeling like they were perfect. And so if I look at, you know, what, you know, my husband and I have, and yes, as you shared, we've been through tragedy. Everyone, though, has their own tragedy, whether it happens in relationship or before relationship. Everybody has that deep experience of life. When I first met Dave, I mean, we met in a bar. You know, this was not like we met at church in Bible study, you know, speaking about soul consciousness, you know, and I think that
I didn't know that story.
You're like, wait a minute. I think this is important to share, though, because I think people look at our relationship now and they're like, oh, you know, they talk about living themselves fully. You know, they have this business together now and they have breakfast conversations about soul. And yes, we do now. But when we met, you know, over 17 years ago, that was not the case. We met in a bar. All these guys were trying to buy me a drink. He came up to me and I was like, oh, here we go. Right? I'm getting ready to tell him, no, don't buy me a drink. And instead he said, I'll get my drink before you get yours. And I was like, what? Competition? Okay, game on. That's how it all started. And the reason I share that is because it was very unorthodox. Yeah. You know, if I would have told you, I mean, I grew up in, I was the goody-goody two-shoes in my house, straight A, you know, honors list, dean's list in college, blah, blah, blah. I never thought I would meet my future husband at a bar. I mean, how mortifying, right? I mean, this was not my ideal scene. This is where I think women are really getting stuck. I think women are getting so caught up in the plan and so caught up in the ideals and so caught up in the ideal scene that if it's going to work, this means this has to be in order. This has to be in order. You know, he has to already be on the spiritual path. And again, I'm not saying none of that is important, but I think it's limiting. I think it's really limiting spirit actually coming in and bringing you the relationship that is going to be conducive to your highest growth. Dave and I met in that bar. We, you know, we were long distance for a year. We lost our first son. We were going to get married, but then we were pregnant first. You know, so we got married to the Justice of the Peace. Then Mason died. Then we never had a full wedding. I mean, this was not how I would have written it out. And if I had been so caught in the ideals of, he needs to look like this, and he needs to be 6'3", and he needs to have green eyes, and he needs to, I mean, no way. So what I'd like to share, and what feels, again, like a part of the conversation that's missing, is I feel that women might have the idea of opening up to magic and spirit's assistance, but I don't think they're actually really doing it. I think to some extent they've actually limited spirit's assistance, and because they're so caught up in the vision of how they would like this package to show up, they are missing the opportunity of falling in love.
Oh God, thank you so much for sharing. I didn't know that part of your story. And I'm so glad that you've shared that, because for anyone listening, if you were to spend any time with Tara and Dave, you would leave after just spending an hour with them. You would leave feeling like, oh my God, that is the kind of relationship I want. I want what they have. That's so amazing. And I love you sharing that the way that you got to it is not this perfect, you know, kind of way that I know a lot of women think about. I hear a lot of women say, oh, he has to be spiritual, or he has to be conscious, or he has to be this, or he has to be that. And I think that you're right. They're limiting the way that the possibilities that they could meet their perfect partner, and that it can unfold in this magical way through intention and commitment. But it doesn't have to look this certain way. I'm so glad you shared that.
I think that, and I feel very honored, Cammie, to be able to open up to this level of authentic conversation with you, because I don't want to hold back at all. You know, there's a lot of sugarcoating, I think, that's going on right now inside of the space around this is how things happen. And I think the perfectionist idea of, like you're saying, well, he has to be conscious, he has to be spiritual, he has to, you know, I don't know, all of these rules and regulations. I think what's happening is the deep, deep, intense connection that happens when two people fall in love is being missed, because there's this checklist of what either party must meet. And I'm telling you, I don't care if you get everything on that checklist checked off, if there isn't a deep fire of connection and organic conversation and physical, like, you know, longing, in my experience, it's not going to work. I don't care how much you have check off that list. So I think there's an opportunity for women to kind of let go a little bit, to, you know, a little bit get out of their own way of this idealistic view of how it's going to happen, what he's going to look like, because I think they're getting caught up inside of an ideal that's actually stopping them from falling in love.
Well, can you share a little bit about the origins back then, and what was it that had you? Dave introduces himself. He comes up with a clever introduction. Kudos to Dave.
Yes, I know, right? I think it was just the other day in the kitchen, because we've been talking about this with you know, one of our programs, and I said, what made you think of that? Like, was that a line you used on women before? Because that was really good.
Yeah.
And he's like, I swear, I never thought of it before. You know, it was just funny. You were there, and, you know, totally kudos to him. So when you say origins, you're talking about more like what happened then, or what intrigued me?
Yeah. Like, I'm saying, because you're talking about, you know, how there are all these checklists and things, and if they're not meeting the checklist, no, you're out, you know. What was it for you at the beginning? Had you say, okay, I'm open. I think this might be a contender. This might be someone who could possibly be a good partner. What was your side of the story?
Well, I'll share with you a little bit where I was coming from, because I actually had been, and not a lot of, well, a lot of people know it now. And actually my kids just found this out, which, again, talk about unorthodoxed. You know, life unfolds perfectly. I was actually married for 7 months before I met Dave. And I had the perfect checklist. Yeah. I met him in college. He was 4 or 5 years older than me. He was already making $18,000 a month. You know, perfect checklist. He had the job. He then got a house. And, you know, we had the big wedding. Everything was, the connection was not there. I tried to make it there because I thought I was looking for safety. Mm. I thought that, and I also thought that safety looked a certain way. I had been hurt before inside a relationship, just like any of us. The love of my life, which still I could kick his butt, you know, and I still love him in many ways. You know, he's good friends with my family, but you know, that first real love where you open yourself up to such an extent and then you get hurt, where you're just like, no, thank you, not interested. So I went with that energy and then found someone that I felt really safe with. But that connection, not only the physical connection, but that fire, you know, that adventure, that experience of, I know myself in such a way that I've never known myself before. I love adventure. I love new experiences. And I shut a piece of myself off to marry this man that I thought was going to be very safe. And I knew it, but I couldn't admit it to myself. I had the dress, the house was waiting, I had this perfect scenario. So I went with it. So where I was when I met Dave was shortly coming out of that. And I was not interested in anything. I thought I did it and I got really hurt when I was really in love. I wasn't really in love and I did it and that sucked because I felt not alive inside of it at all. So forget it. Maybe relationship just isn't for me. I'm okay, whatever. I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to do it that way. So that's the space I was in. When I went out to this club, I went to Paris. It's just this little shop in Scottsdale, and I got my strappy heels, and I just wanted to have fun. You know, I wasn't looking for anything. I just wanted actually every guy to leave me alone. Just, I wanted to go have fun. And so the first thing was the competition. I'm very competitive. Very competitive. So when Dave came to me and said, "I'll get your drink before mine," I was intrigued. I thought, he's different. He's like not trying to do it the same way as everybody else is. So first it was curiosity and competition. It was fun. Yeah. It was fun. Like, I didn't need to know what he did for a living. I didn't have his resume. We were freaking in a bar, you know?
Right.
I mean, whatever. It was so loud, I could barely even hear him. I thought he was really hot. I really did. I thought he's so cute. He has like this boyish kind of charm. You know, there was just something inside of that kind of, he was Italian, which I love Italians, and I swear I would stay away from them after my first love, but if I was honest with myself, I just love Italian men. But it was like primal stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't in like, you know, this esoteric, like, oh my God, I wonder if he's going to be the one, and, you know, will our ideals meet? No, I was like, he's hot. This competition thing is cool. And then we talked all night and conversation for me.
There was a connection.
Huge.
Yeah.
So that was where it was. And I didn't know if it was going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I took a risk and I trusted myself because I stayed out with him all night. Nothing physical happened at all. We talked, but I was out with him all night. And that's not my normal MO at all. Mm-hmm. At all. But I felt like I knew him. I felt like there was more. And I was just curious about the more. So that's how everything started. And I lived in California and he lived in Arizona. So like, this is funny too. Nobody really knows this, but we went our separate ways. The next day I flew back to California and he had slipped his business card in my bag. And it was like 3 weeks later that I couldn't stop thinking about him. And I called him. I called him actually at work. And I didn't even know that I had pressed like to his not personal connect, you know, extension. So I'm like over the loudspeaker, like, "Tara is looking for Dave Marino." He was like, "What?" You know, so there was nothing conventional about anything for us at all.
Okay, wait for the man to call you first. He's pursuing you now.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There was nothing. I just liked him, you know? My goodness, gasp, you know, like it was just like.
But the thing I like about what you were sharing is how you were saying that I went out that I was not looking for something. I was in a space. It sounds like you were in a space of fullness with yourself. You weren't seeking to be filled up by some external validation. And that is also something I know that you teach about in your work. And maybe you can share a little bit more about that aspect, because I know a lot of women are looking for, okay, I need this and that. And now I'm going to go out and I'm going out with girlfriends, my wing women, and I'm looking for this partner. But what about this aspect that you just talked about being really full within yourself? And I know you teach, so I'm just going to let you go.
All right, awesome. Thank you for bringing that up, because it's true. There's some components here that I think women can tap into. I do believe in wholeness and fullness as we are as women. And it's a really interesting kind of caveat, isn't it? Because we want to feel whole and complete, and yet we want to share that with somebody. And I think that's a slight mindset shift that's really powerful for women. Yes, I can be whole and complete, and I would like to share my wholeness with someone else. Versus that space of, I need somebody, or I don't need somebody because I'm okay on my own. You know, either of those dynamics are not conducive to attracting. And if you think just about the male energy, as we know, loves to fix things. It loves to know that it's in service. It loves to feel like it can make an impact, really, truly. So when you come from a space of wholeness, and yet you're aware that you're open to sharing your wholeness, a male energy feels like it has space to come in. Versus when you're in a space of void, like, oh my God, I need it. I need it. I need that man. I need that love. I need that relationship. The masculine, unconsciously or consciously, if they're that conscious, but they'll get really turned off because they know they can't fill that void. It's impossible right. for them. They cannot fill you up to that extent. So over the years, after been through this journey on my own and really seeing those aspects of my life that served me, after I did lose our first son, Mason, and looking at that deeper level of healing so that I could come from that space of wholeness again that you're speaking about, I uncovered the three aspects of us as women, which we call the femtypes. And so whether you are at a loss inside of your identity, whether you have lost somebody that you love, whether you've lost a dream or a job or whatever it is that you feel has brought you out of that state of wholeness, the femtypes really gift you that opportunity to remember the truth. The truth being you already are whole, right? But the femtypes give you that access. So we have the Indi, which I know you know very well. The Indi is the femtype associated with self-confidence, with self-worth, that opportunity for you to remember who you really are, and gives you the confidence to be who you are in any given situation. So whether you're out at a club, or you're out for dinner, or you're at, you know, your friend's house, or you're at work, that you're allowing yourself to be the truth of who you are. And that's the Indi. And that's the foundational component for any of us. I don't care what you're looking for. If you're wanting to call a man into your life or your dream or whatever it is, you being confident enough to know that you can show up in your essence is everything. So that's mm-hmm. the first one. That's the Indi. The second femtype is the Frenchie. And this is the one, yes, you require the Frenchie for this attractor field inside of your, you know, longing for a relationship. And the Frenchie has to do with enjoying. She has to do with what it is that pleases you in life, your body image and your relationship. So very easy when the women, you know, hear this first, oh my gosh, I need my Frenchie. I certainly need yes. my Frenchie if I'm love into my life. And it's true. But here's what's very different inside of the Frenchie from this context. When I say you need to know what pleases you, you know, your Frenchie assists you in knowing what pleases you in life. I think another way that women get off on this is they're not willing to engage in the conversation with what it is that does please them. And so they'll show up in relationship and a man will say, well, where do you want to go to eat? I don't know. Well, yeah. You know, what do you want to talk about? I don't know.
Whatever you want.
You want. This is not cool. This is not attractive. This does not give the man the opportunity to meet you mm-hmm. and take care of you. If you don't know what you want, how is he supposed to give it to you? Mm-hmm. Now, this is also, you can go to the other extreme. Well, I want this, and I'm not saying that either. Right. Like, we need to have some flexibility. But I'll tell you, this is something that I found really different about French women, Cammy, is that French women clearly state what they want. Mm. There is not a lot of ambiguity in the conversation. You know, it doesn't mean they're going to get it. And, you know, they're not really, they don't need to be overly attached to it, but they've explored what it is they want. Mm-hmm. This is highly attractive for a man, highly attractive. A woman who knows what she wants and that is willing to allow you to participate in her receiving that, huge, huge. So that's the Frenchie femtype. And the final one is the New Yorker. The New Yorker has to do with doing, so she's that aspect of us that has to do with power and prosperity and bringing into our world aligned action. You know, the things that we want to experience in the physical world. So the New Yorker's important as well for anybody who's seeking that physical relationship, that component, not just the idea or the vision of it. And we want to all be careful that it's so easy to go into the, you know, the opposite of the New Yorker, which is the overwhelm, the overplanning, the over-strategizing, the squeezing things too tight. And that's actually where I think a lot of women are these days, you know?
Yes.
I think they're just getting caught up in the planning of finding who they want to find, even the processing, even the intellect. And I think it's just, it's not completely conducive. So the femme types can certainly assist a woman in coming into that place of wholeness, figuring out who she wants to be in any circumstance, figuring out what it is that pleases her, and then bringing what it is that pleases her into the physical world. So as you're open to that relationship coming forward, you still are bringing into your life the aspects of your life that you want to experience. And you're not putting your life on hold, waiting for the man. And at the same time, you're not closing off the energy for that man to come in.
And when you're working with women, you tend to see that a woman may be sort of, you were talking about with the overdoing, the New Yorker overdoing, controlling. Do you see that some women don't yet have access or haven't yet tapped into all of those spaces within themselves yet? So a woman may be, say she's very much in her New Yorker, but she hasn't yet accessed the Frenchie or her Indie. Do you see that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Women can, you know, a number of different variations, either, you know, and this is hard for us to admit to ourselves, but you might not have activated any of them properly, you know, because you might be so, you know, concerned about other people's expectations and all of that. So you could be really outside of your femme types. You might have one activated and you see, wow, I've really put the Frenchie on the back burner. Typically what I see is women think they have activated their Indie. They know they're running in overdrive with their New Yorker, and they know their Frenchie is completely non-existent. This is what the majority of women that come to Elegant Femme, they start to have that awareness. When I start to speak with them, what ends up being most of the time the accuracy around it is they haven't properly activated their Indie. They haven't given themselves permission to really ask the necessary questions inside of their Frenchie, and their New Yorker is actually non-existent, because they're operating in a space of overwhelm and exhaustion and squeezing, you know? So they're not in aligned action. They're in action, but the action isn't aligned with them or their soul. So it's, you know, the first awareness and then what's really happening, which is why we share with women, you know, the femtype quiz to give them a deeper idea of where they might be really operating inside of their life and what might be, you know, stopping them really from receiving what it is they really desire.
And then coming from this space, so back to the idea of the fullness and going out into the world from this place, balancing all the different aspects of the Indie, the Frenchie, the New Yorker, then to be open to receiving and cultivating love, partnership from there. That makes so much sense.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing is that I would say is, yes, that's the ideal situation and to be aware of all of the femmes, but also to be aware that as you are activating them, to still be open to love, you know, not to have that idea come in that says, okay, wait, I don't know that I'm fully whole yet. So, because the truth is, you're already whole, right? It's you bringing you up to speed with the awareness of that. So I just want to make sure to be clear around the message that yes, the activation of the wholeness, that's where you can focus your attention as you are remaining open to love. But to be really careful not to think, okay, I must make sure I am fully in sync, fully whole, fully accounted for before I'll even be open to the idea. Because that's, again, you know, the love of your life could be down the street at the AM, PM. And because you have a checklist inside that says, you know, he has to have a suit and be driving this car and blah, 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 you don't go to the AM, PM, you know? And I just like to start following is that soul's calling. When I went out that night to Axis Radius, which, oh my gosh, if anybody lives in Scottsdale, Arizona, they're like, what? It was like the biggest hookup joint. I had no idea because I went to the concierge. I was from out of town. I said, you know, I just want to go out. Where should I go? He sent me there. If I wouldn't have gone that night, right, because I thought I don't have my stuff together, you know, I just got out of this relationship. Why am I even going? I didn't get myself caught up in the perfection of it. I had a desire. I wanted the experience. I gave myself the experience. So wherever you are in your life right now, remember to stay plugged in. What are you desiring? Always, right? Do you feel a calling? I should go for a walk right now. I'm feeling called to go to the beach. Well, that retreat or that seminar, or I'm feeling a coffee. Like, follow those inner knowings. Mm-hmm. Follow that desire. Give yourself permission to show up as you are. That opens you up to love. It's not about trying to manipulate yourself and make yourself something that you're not. You want the man that you fall in love with to love you for where you are right now and be open to love you for where you're going. And that's something that I think Dave and I have that really is unique, but that I know isn't just meant for us. We grew together over the past 17 years, you know? We went to the places we needed to go inside of ourselves. We've had the challenging conversations. We've had the arguments. We've had the fights, you know? It's not always a pretty perfect picture. And I think that's something that women need to recognize. You know, you've got to be willing to commit to a journey that brings you far outside of yourself. Mm-hmm. And the first thing to do is just open yourself up to the journey now. Stop trying to perfect yourself and wait, you know, for that stamp of approval from who knows who that you're ready. You're ready, or you wouldn't want it, right?
Well, thank you for what you said about the AMP or AMP.
Do you have one down the street?
Well, there's a, you know, there is one down the street, ladies. No, it's because what I see too is that there's like a, oh, okay, I'm going to be on my match.com account. So now I'm going to be open to love, or now I'm going to this XYZ yoga retreat. So now I'll be open to love. But today I'm grocery shopping or at the post office or at the AMPM or wherever. And then we tend to be, oh, I'm on my phone or so.
Exactly. And
it can happen anywhere. It could be your neighbor. It could be the guy that delivers your washing machine. I mean, who knows? Yeah. Anywhere. So I love what you're saying about that, to be always inside of possibility and to be open and to get out of these preconceived notions about when, where, or who. I love that.
Yes. Yes, because, you know, spirit, your soul chooses your soulmate. Let's not forget that. Do you know? It's like we think we choose. No. I mean, our ego has a bunch of ideas about who we should be with in order to be validated inside of this lifetime. I would invite everyone to open up to what it is you really need. You know, what did your soul come here seeking? If you say, you know what, no holds barred, I am opening up to the deepest love that's available to me inside of this lifetime that will support my deepest evolution as a woman, bring it. If you come forward with that space, oh my gosh, I think that's a game changer.
And I would love you to share a little bit about what you were just talking about before, about how you and Dave, from the beginning, it's been a learning and growing process all along the way. It wasn't like, oh, all of a sudden, now we have the perfect relationship. Everything's perfect. Our life is perfect. You created and cultivated it together all along the way, with riding the waves and the bumps. And what can you share with women about that? Because I know a lot of women I talk to, they'll meet someone and they have those ideas. You know, they'll meet someone and be like, I don't know. I mean, it seems so great, but there's this problem and there's this thing and this isn't perfect. I don't know. So what can you say about that from your own experience?
Yeah, I love this question, Cammy, because again, and so much gratitude to my first marriage, honestly, because I learned so much. I left that relationship and I thought, oh my God, it is all him. He is a total train wreck. You know, the way he treated me was wrong and it was so emotional, blah, 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 blah. And then I got into a relationship with Dave and I was like, wait a minute. Like, why are these issues coming up again? This is interesting. Wait a minute, common denominator, shh, that's me, right? So I really, first thing that Dave and I recognized, and the first thing that I recognized deeply within myself, was that I had to take responsibility for how I was showing up. And I had to recognize that no relationship is perfect. And was I just going to trade this relationship for another relationship that was going to reflect back to me the rest of the things that I needed to learn. So I made a commitment. Yeah, I know. I made a commitment very early on inside of my relationship with Dave. It wasn't like come hell or high water, this was going to work. It was, I am going to reflect wherever I need to see what role I am playing inside of this space. And I knew that I wasn't going to just run. I knew that there was inside of every relationship, there's to me, and both Dave and I really, this is a common agreement that we have. We feel that relationship is one of the most powerful, that and business are the two most powerful things that you can engage in for self-growth and evolution. I mean, we mm-hmm. both really believe that. Now, I'm not saying that you just stay no matter what. You know, I want to be careful. I mean, there are those circumstances. I required to leave my first relationship. It was not in service of my growth and evolution as a woman. I needed to leave. But I wanted to make sure that inside of what I have with Dave, that I didn't just run, that I didn't pick apart these tiny things or even the big things that I thought needed to be fixed, that we were both committed. So, you know, what we teach inside of our Live We Fully, in fact, we've over the years been able to determine what it is we have, what we do focus on. So that would be the number one, taking responsibility for how you're showing up inside the relationship and really being able to have that deep reflection. I'm not saying to come from the space of, oh, everything's my fault, but I'm saying to come from a real mature conversation inside of yourself of what's here that's shown up for me before. Mm-hmm. You know, not just to throw everything out. You know, if you're dating somebody new and this isn't perfect and that isn't perfect, ask yourself, is this a pattern? Has this shown up before? So instead of what I hear a lot of women say is, oh, I just keep attracting, you know, the wrong guy in the same situation. Okay. You have that awareness. Why? Like what's really going on inside your formula? What makes you believe that you think you need that? Or what kind of pairing is that with love? You know, where have you paired that and this pattern with love? You know, those deeper levels of conversation. So, you know, Dave and I mean, when Mason died, we didn't relate to it at all the same. You know, Dave actually started drinking a lot and he was working like crazy. All I wanted to do was talk about it and cry. He didn't want to talk about it at all. I mean, we've been to those places where you feel like you're worlds apart, you know, but we knew that inside of that actually circumstance, we knew that no one was going to understand what we'd been through other than us. So we figured we might as well give it a shot to try to work this out together. And we had those really hard conversations. And again, you know, even after we had two healthy kids, we were in suburbia and we were sitting on a golf course and we had the fancy cars and the house and Dave was working like 80 hours a week. And we had the difficult conversation. This isn't what we want. Mm-hmm. This isn't what we want. You know, so that communication inside of, you know, really being able to clarify for yourself and for each other what is the life experience you want. And then for us at higher and higher levels of communication, we would love to see couples being able to utilize their relationship for higher levels of vision, higher levels of purpose, you know, a mission statement as a couple. You know, that's where we're headed and that's we want to help couples in that arena going forward. But I don't know. I want to make sure I answer your question and provide you with what's going to be the most valuable to you and your.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you for that sharing, because you just shared some really authentic, vulnerable aspects of your partnership. And I think that's real life. And those are the kinds of things that come up in relationships, and you can either choose, as you said, maybe it's not right and you decide, okay, this isn't working. I need to leave. But at what point do you decide, no, you know what, we're in this for the long haul, we're going to get through this, and how do we do that together? And so just, so I see what the time, well, I could just talk with you for hours about this, but just to kind of bring this conversation to a close, what would you say are the keys or the most important aspects? You mentioned shared agreements or agreements in your partnership. Yeah. What do you think have been some of the most important agreements or important learnings or keys that you and Dave have implemented in order to not only start this partnership, but to cultivate it over the years together? What are some things that women can keep in mind as they're out there dating?
Yeah, Cammy, I have kind of an interesting one, and it might seem a little bit shocking, but I will tell you that And there's many, obviously responsibility that I spoke to you about, deep level of commitment, you know, being willing to go for the long haul, like you're saying, enter into those very deep conversations. We are so vulnerable with each other. I mean, we risk everything. We put everything on the table. We would both rather be alone than be in partnership inside of a lie. Mm. That's how we feel. So we're very, very vulnerable with each other. I will tell you one thing that we are so clear on, and it is, you know, inside, we've seen this inside of so many relationships crumble, is that we are completely monogamous. We are not into like this swinging. We are not into sharing partners. And I know some of your audience might be like, oh, how could she even say that? We've seen it so many times. Oh. As relationships develop, you know, either the woman says, oh gosh, well, the man just has to have it this way, so I'm just going to be okay with it. Or, I mean, this to us is such a big defining factor. And in fact, what we've seen inside of long-term relationships is that because couples are not operating at a high level of communication, there tends to be some stagnancy happen inside the partnership. And people start looking for ways to kind of feel alive again, to reactivate that spark and that adrenaline and that connection. And so sometimes they think that that has to happen outside of the partnership. And what I will share with your audience, and deeply for Dave and I, is that because we have that agreement, we don't run anywhere. We know the level of conversation we require to have with ourselves and with each other in order to reactivate that energy of aliveness. Mm-hmm. And we are committed to experiencing that together. So if we come to a place where we feel like we're feeling stagnant or something isn't working, we will have the conversation to make that huge change, whether it's moving to Paris or starting a fashion line or leaving Paris or building a beach house or going sailing or, you know, whatever the conversation is. If we don't feel fulfilled in an area of our lives, we're going to bring it to the partnership and have the discussion, not look for some sort of external factor or external energy that we would think would somehow bring completion. Because I'll tell you, we've seen it happen with so many of our friends. You have enough energy going on between the two of you. You do not need to bring in any additional energy. You know, go to where you need to go inside of your partnership and have that level of authentic conversation.
Wow. I loved what you said. We would rather have, I forget exactly how you said it, but we'd rather have complete honest communication than to be living in a lie. And that can be challenging sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be one of the hardest things, but you know what I'm committed to is living fully. And I'm first and foremost committed to my own authenticity. I'm first and foremost committed to my own soul. And I bring that to our relationship. And that's just a priority. It's me and my relationship with God and my soul that comes first. Then Dave, then the kids. Like, that's truly my level of priority inside of my life. But first and foremost, it's my soul. So I will not compromise that under any circumstance. No. I just won't. You know, life's too short.
Tara, thank you so much for being here. I wish we could just go on and on and on. And I know there's so much more that you have to offer and to share. So how can women get in touch? How can they learn more? What's your free gift that you're offering?
Yes. Well, I would love for women to go to elegantfemme.com/quiz. And I'm sure you can put that link somewhere easy enough for them.
Yeah, it'll be right below.
Perfect. So you can go and take the FemType quiz, learn about your FemType, see where you might be out of sync, you know, get some feedback as to where it is you're really operating inside of your life. And then from there, you know, at elegantfemme.com, we have so many resources to assist you in living more fully and really being able to live in that space of authenticity and elegance and truth with your beautiful life. You know, that's what we're about. So I would invite you to start with the quiz and go from there.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate having you with us today and all that you've shared. I know that you've opened up so much possibility for all of the women listening. So thank you.
Awesome, Cammie. My pleasure.
Thank you. And everyone here, thank you so much for listening, being with us, watching or listening. We appreciate having you here. Make sure that you take advantage of Tara's free gift below, the video you're watching or the audio that you're listening to. And after you do that, make sure that you check out the VIP package. You can have today's session and listen back to it as much as you like, as well as take advantage of the content of all of our fabulous speakers. You can learn more below, or you can go to ultimatelovelifemakeover.com/VIP. Once again, thank you for being here with us, and we look forward to having you with us again for more of the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Summit. See you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.